the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Actually, the fasting of Saint Mary and the feast of Saint Mary, something very precious to our lives, because all of us love Saint Mary as mother of all of us, and we are waiting for these days, especially in Saint Mary Church in Houston, the church that all of us, all the people in Houston, they love and love to come and listen and enjoy being in Saint Mary Church. So I'd like to thank Abuna Ishaq and Abuna Bshoy, who started this celebration in Saint Mary many years ago, and in every year they invite us to come and take the blessing of being with you and being in Saint Mary's Church, praising her name and listening to the words of God. I know that the theme of this revival is the Bible, the book and the Word of God. So the topic of today is, the Bible teaches us about God. The Bible teaches us the perfect and the right thing about God. Why it is important to know God? It's important to know God and to know God perfectly in the correct way as He revealed Himself. Because if we have a wrong conception about God, a wrong perception and a wrong idea about God, this will lead to bad things. It might reach that we lose our eternal life because we don't know God. I'll tell you a story about this. There was a guy and a girl, they were intending to be engaged soon. And they started to mail and send messages in order to know one another before the engagement. And then one day they agreed that this guy will come to visit the city and will visit the house and ask for the engagement with this girl. So he came in time and knocked the door, and the girl opened to him, and she said to him, "Who are you?" He said to her that, "I am so and so." "Oh, you are welcome. You came in time. Thank you so much. Come in." And she invited him to come to inside. And then she asked him, "Would you like to drink something? What do you like to drink?" He stopped for a while and started to say to her, "Okay, I'd like to drink some tea." And she went to bring the tea, and she came very, very soon, and she asked him, "Do you like milk or creamer or sugar, or what do you like to drink with the tea?" Allah stick it shwaya kida. He stopped for a while and said to her, "I'd like sugar and some milk." I said, okay, I'll bring it soon. And she came soon and asked him, "Would you like to eat something? Some cake, some fruits, whatever thing you like." He stopped for a while and thought, and then he said to her, "I'd like, yes, a piece of cake." And she kept asking him many questions like this, and then at the end of the meeting, or he stooped and he said, "Thank you so much, I'm leaving." "What? We didn't speak about the topic, the issue that you came to engage me and ask for proposal for me with my parents." "Allah, no, I changed my mind." "Why you changed your mind?" "Allah, because I sent all the questions that you asked me in messages and in letters, and it seemed that you never opened my messages and you neglected my letters, and instead of knowing me, you ignored me. How it come that we live together and you don't know me?" And he left her. So that if we don't know God, He will leave us. He sent about Himself, He taught us about Himself, every single thing about Himself in His messages. If you don't know God from His messages, you will not be able to live with Him. القصة دي بتبين إن ربنا بيبعت لنا كل يوم رسالة، بس إحنا بدل ما بنقرأ الرسالة بنهمل رسائل ربنا وفيها وصف ربنا. It's very important to know God as He revealed Himself. Many people put in their minds certain imagination about God. Who is God? And actually God came to the disciples and asked them, Whom do you think I am? من تفتكروا أنا مين؟ How do you think about me? How do you look to me? And he started to ask them. And St. Peter said, You are the Christ, the Son of God. Actually, there is a parable in the Bible that there was a master who gave talents and money to his servants. Two of them worked hard with the talents. And one of them, he buried the talent in the dirt. And he came and said, I know, I knew that you are a bad master. And he started to think about his master, that he is gaining what he's not paying for, and he's taking while he's not working. So he started to think about this, and the result was his master sent him to punishment. And actually, if we want to know about a person, if I want to know about God, or I want to know God, even think about a historical personality like Shakespeare or Napoleon or Athanasius or Saint Paul. How do you know about him? You want to know him. You want to make a project about him, to write something about him. How can you know? Unless you read what he wrote, the stories, the epistles. Whatever he wrote, he expresses himself through the writings. Or it is better to know somebody who lived with him and to know what he did in the past while he was living. The same was God. If you want to know God and the correct and the exact picture of God, you return back to the Bible, because the Bible is the word of God. He speaks about himself. He describes himself. If we want to know the real picture of God, we return back to the Bible. I'd like to speak with you about two parts in this night. Many people have wrong imagination about God and wrong picture, distorted pictures about God. I'll discuss with you three of these pictures. Then I'll discuss with you the real picture of God as He revealed Himself in the Bible, not as everybody put imaginations and ideas in his mind. Let me speak about the first one. I call him God of Forbiddens. إله الممنوعات. That God is always saying, don't do this. Don't do this. This is forbidden. الحكاية دي حرام. حرام. You know what حرام means? Yeah, it's not allowed to do this. And if we return back to the Ten Commandments, كلها فيها إيه? Don't do, don't kill, don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't worship another God. So this is the God of don't do this. And putting limits for everything. So this God is limiting my enjoyment and limiting my freedom and always putting rules. Follow the rules. We are sick of the rules, right? Some people think this way and think that God is controlling me through putting a lot of rules, which is hard to follow and hard to abide to. So this is the picture of God that some people refuse. God, I don't like this God. I want a God who gives me freedom and respects my choices and allows me to enjoy life. Not that God who is like limiting me from here and from here, and he don't want me to do anything, even he enforces me to follow his will. He doesn't respect my will, doesn't care for my will and my desires. Let me discuss with you deep things. Actually, all of us follow the rules in everything. Like there is something called the traffic law, right? don't cross the red light, don't speed, don't drive on the shoulder, don't park, whatever. And all of us abide to these rules, right? There is a sports rule. If you are playing football or basketball or whatever ball, right? You follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, yeah, you have penalties, right? So everybody follow the rules. And all of us accept the rules and follow the rules. The rules of the states, the rules of the country, the rules of the school. So why, when it comes to God, we think that the rules limits my freedom and limits my will and limits my enjoyment? That the rules are put for safety, right? And the rules are put for guidance. Actually, the rules of God, the commandments of God, is not limiting my freedom, but actually directing me to the right way. So we know that your word is light to my feet, right? You know this, siragun li rigli kalam, is lamp for my feet and light for my way, Psalm 119. So actually also God is not enforcing his will on me. We think that God is enforcing his will on me, and I don't like this, that somebody is enforcing what he wants and neglects what I want to do. But actually, if you return back to the Bible, you will find many people here who refuse the rules of God and the will of God. Like the rich young man. You know the story of the rich man who was young, he was a youth, and he asked God, let me know, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? All you need one thing, to sell your what you have and give it to the poor and follow me carrying the cross. And he went sad because he was rich. He didn't accept God's will. Okay, it's up to you. I'm not enforcing my will on you. Actually, Cain, you know Cain, who killed his brother, Abel, القصة بتاعت قايين وهابيل. يعني رالكم الآية that God spoke to Cain and warned him. And he said to him, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do well, if you do something correct, you will be accepted. It's up to you. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. There is a sin lying close to you. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. This is what God said to Cain. قال له عبارة جميلة جدا. قال له إن أحسنت أفلا رفع، يعني إن أحسنت عملت حاجة كويسة، أنا هرفع عنك التجربة ديت. وإن لم تفعل فالخطية رابضة عند الباب، يعني it's very close، الخطية قريبة جدا. وإليك اشتياقها وأنت تسود عليها. فدي نصيحة. Did he took the rules and he took the will of God? He refused it. Another person, all of us know the story of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord. When he came to the Lord, listen what happened. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? It's warning. يقول له يا صاحب لماذا جئت. Think what you are doing. Wake up before time. But he didn't take it. So it is my choice. I can choose to accept the will of God or refuse it. But some people think that God is limiting my freedom. If we speak about the freedom, is God limiting my freedom or not? We can return back to the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son, Ibn Abdal, he said to his father, give me my money. Actually, it was not his money. his inheritance. Give me the portion that belongs to me from your inheritance even before you die. Give it me to me now. Why? I want to be free. Go away from the home, live my life, have enjoyment, whatever I want to do, I'll do. So this is the freedom. And he thought that God or the Father is limiting his freedom. He's preventing me from enjoyments. Let me enjoy my life. And he took, the Father didn't prevent him from taking his money, though he knew that this is wrong. So God is not limiting my freedom. But if you take it, yeah, and try to understand what is the freedom. Actually, you know, Solomon, King Solomon, he tried everything. He tried to enjoy and tried to amuse himself in all ways. And the result, he said, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. I want to reach the end of this. It is the gift of God. So God gives me enjoyment. God gives me enjoyment. He is not enforcing his will on me. And this is the difference between when dad and mom gives me instructions and rules. This is for controlling or guiding. There is a big difference between the two. Controlling means selfishness, but guiding means love. Big difference between selfishness. Do you think God is selfish? He wants to control? Actually, something. If God is enforcing his will on the earth or in the creation, I think this will be a good thing. The crime will disappear. Diseases will disappear. Sufferings will disappear. Everybody will be happy. But God cannot do this because of his love. He loved us and he gave us freedom. Because with love, there is freedom. With love, there is freedom. But we should know what is the real freedom. I'll read for you two verses about real freedom. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. What this mean? That some people take the word freedom or liberty to do the sin. I want to do sin. Let me do it. Set me free. I am a free man. Do whatever I want. But they want just to cover the sin. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. Slaves. Instead of being in liberty, they become slaves. For what? For sin. Okay. This is the first picture about God. I read just one word about it. God gives you freedom. Listen to this, which is Deuteronomy, chapter 30. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you, God is saying, I have set before you two things, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. بيقولها قد وضعت أمامك طريقان الحياة والموت البركة واللعنة فاختر الحياة لكي تحيا أنت وأولادك. يبقى هنا who is choosing? God is choosing for me? No. This is a wrong and distorted picture about God. Let me move to the next picture. God of punishment. The first one was God of forbiddance and don't do. The second one, هي God of punishments and rewards. إله العقاب والثواب. This surah distorted. This is not real God. We think that God is like after me always. Do this, I punish you. If you do this, I punish you. If you don't pray, I'll make an accident. If you don't fast, so you will fail the exam. So there is punishment. No, this is not our God. And the people do not like this. Actually, this is not our God. That sometimes if something bad happened to me, I think this is from God. because what I did in the morning, something bad. Also, this is the punishment of God. This is absolutely wrong. God is not this way. Did he punish the prodigal son when he returned back? Do you think he punished him? No. He never punished him. Actually, he accepted him and offered for him clothes and food, and like he made a celebration because he came back. Okay, let me speak about many people, just names. Did he punish Samaritan woman? How many sins he did? She did. How many years of life she lived in sin? When he came to her, did he punish her? So why we say that God is God of punishment? No. What we gain is consequences of the mistakes we are doing. Somebody is driving the car while he's sleeping, or speaking in the phone, or listening to the music, and then he makes an accident, and God punished me. He's not God at all. I'm doing a mistake, I take the consequences, right? So what about the Joseph's brothers? They tried to kill him and they sold him. Did God punish them? What about Cain, when he killed his brother? He killed his brother. What is more than that? God is not God of punishment, but actually it is consequences. If you leave light, you will be in darkness, right? Don't say that God put me in darkness. You put yourself. You left the light. If you leave the joy of God, you will be in sadness. If you leave the peace of God, you will be worried and depressed. So actually God is sad for us, not because of us. And he is mad, he's not mad at us, but sad if we do the sin. We think that God is like God of punishment. The third distorted picture is God who is spiritual, just caring for the spirit, and not caring for my emotions, and not caring for my body and my physical needs. He just said that pray, fast, confess, and worship God, and read the Bible, read the Agbaya, and all this stuff. What about my emotions? I need love. I need peace. What about my body, physical needs? So some people think that God is ignoring my needs. But actually, God created man as body, soul, and spirit, right? He is creator, but he knows what is the most valuable thing of the three. The body, or the soul, which is the center of emotions, or the spirit. The spirit is eternal. The body is made of the dust, and the soul is like the reaction between the two, the emotions. It will come to end. But though he knows the importance of the spirit over the body and the emotions, he cares for the three. When he created paradise of joy for Adam and Eve, he made it suitable of everything, enjoyable, even physical. And actually, after that, he created Eve for Adam because he knew that he has a body and soul have emotions. He cannot live by himself. He created Eve for him. And actually, in the prayers, we say that you are the true physician of our souls, bodies, and spirits. أنت هو الطبيب الحقيقي الذي لإيه أنفسنا وأجسادنا وأرواحنا. We cannot say that he cares for the soul and not caring for our bodies. Even when he took flesh, he became a man. He took flesh and soul and the spirit of man. Beside the divinity, he took a perfect man. How can we say that he's not caring for my body? Or not caring for my emotions, or not providing and give amusement and fulfillment of my emotions. Let us move to the fourth. So the first one is God of forbiddance, God of punishment, and the God who is spiritual, not caring, ignoring my emotions and physical needs. The fourth one, God who is separated is high and not looking at me and not caring for me and not helping me. God who is separated and higher than me. He does not listen to my prayers. How many times I prayed for this thing and he is not listening. I am in trouble, I'm in difficulty, I'm suffering. I have many distresses and he's looking at me at all, he doesn't care. This is not true. This is not our God. This is not the biblical God. Because God is caring and very close to me. Actually, he came very close. When we see the real God, we will discover that he is protecting his kids and caring for them and listening to their prayers according to what will be useful for me, not what I'm asking. Even the Bible said that you ask and not receive because you ask wrong. تطلبون ولستم تأخذون ليه؟ لأنكم تطلبون رديئاً رديئاً. يعني الواحد لما يطلب حاجة رديئة. يعني افرض ابني جاي يطلب مني مثلاً سكينة. هدي له سكينة؟ أقول لي هلعب بيها يا بابا. I will never give him or gun or sword or something dangerous, a scorpion or whatever thing. I'll give it to him. يقول لي it's a toy. It's not a toy يا بابا. مش كده؟ افرض انا بطلب شيء مش معنى كده ان ربنا مش بيستجيب. Or sometimes we think that God is not like saving his kids from the disasters. Like a hurricane is coming. Okay, God will save me. I'll sleep in peace and God will protect me. What if it doesn't happen? So God is not caring for me. He should interfere and prevent this hurricane from destroying my house. It will never happen. Because God put physical rules, the physics, natural rules, and they are working. Yes, something distorted the rules of God, which is sin. Even the nature became enemy of the humans. But this doesn't mean that God is not interfering. And you still remember what happened 2 years ago in the hurricane. And many, many, many times in the Bible, return back to the Bible to know the true God. He saved his people. Think about a story in the Bible or event in the Bible that God saved his people. How many, many times? I'll tell you one story. You heard about a king called Sennacherib. اسمه غريب شوي. اسمه بالعربي سنحريب. Sennacherib was a king of Babylon, and he came, surrounded Jerusalem, and sent messages to the king Hezekiah. Allo, yani, you think that your God will deliver you from my hand? Look around and see. And his army was too big army that Hezekiah took the letters, and he put them in the church, in the temple of God. بيقول كده نشرهم. عارفين الواحد لما بينشغ الغسيل بالمشابك هو نشرهم وضرهم. قال له بص يا رب بيعيروك. They reproach you. They speak evil against you. You should take an act. And he sent it to Isaiah the prophet. قال له see what happened. They are speaking bad about our God. They are saying that God will never deliver you from my hand. Look around you. Syria, Damascus, Egypt, all of them are in my hand. None of them were delivered. You think your God is able to deliver you from my hand? And what happened that Isaiah sent him? Allo, don't be afraid. You will see the deliverance of God. And in one night, one angel destroyed the army of Sennacherib, and he killed 185,000 soldiers in 1 hour. So, 185,000. يعني كام دول كده بتاع اكتر من 100 واحد عدد كبير جدا. And we said that God will not interfere. He will interfere. What about Daniel? What about the three young men? What about a lot of things? Let me go to the real God. As he listen to this, He reveals himself to us, not according to our imaginations. If you want to know the true God, you read about him, you read his words, you speak with people who experienced him. في المثل البلدي نقول ايه، تعرف فلان؟ يقول اعرف. يقول عشرته؟ يقول لي ما عشرتوش، يبقى ما تعرفوش. It's hard to translate. That if you ask somebody, do you know so and so? يقول لك yes, I know him. Do you lived with him? يقول لك no, you don't know him. You live with him, you know him. You listen to his words, you read the Bible. It is very important to know God as he reveals himself. Because actually the people who like imagined about God, actually they became atheists. And they refused this God that controls us and punish us and send us to hell. فابتدى الملحدون يقولوا كده، أبانا الذي في السماوات ابقى فيها مع العصافير. Yeah, we don't know, we don't want to deal with you. Our Father who art in heaven, stay there with the birds. Leave us alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to deal with you anymore. This picture of God was distorted picture. This is not the real God. Who is the real God? As he reveals himself from the Bible. I speak about four pictures of God who is the real God. The first one is he is God of love. God of love. And actually in one of the reconciliation prayers, I start with this word, oh God of love. Ya ilah al-mahabba. مش كده؟ يا إله المحبة ومعطي وحدانية القلب. دي من الحاجات اللي الواحد بيحبها في صلاة الصبح. So listen to this. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is St. John. God is love. I speak about this. For God so loved. This is the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. بيقول هكذا أحب الله العالم، أشهر آية في الإنجيل. لأن دي بتلخص summarizes all the Bible, that God loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son for salvation of everybody. Right? This is summary of what God is doing. God loved the world. There is no love greater than this, that somebody sacrificed himself for others. ليس حب أعظم من هذا. هو ده إلهنا. إله المحبة. God of love. God of like tender-hearted God. And from this, actually, I'd like to read one more verse about the love. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. بيقول هكذا مش عارف demonstrated يعني ايه، مش عارف هي مكتوبة ايه، يعني هكذا ربنا ورانا محبته، أظهر محبته لنا إذ ونحن بعد خطاه مات المسيح لأجلنا. يعني it is easy that I sacrifice myself for a good person or help a good person or love a good person, but it is hard to love a wicked one, a murderer or adulterous one. So God loved us though we were sinners. And everybody of us know how much sins we are doing every day. So from this love of God, we understand that God is caring for his people. And I told you, and I can tell you thousands of things from the Bible. If you read the Bible, you know that God is love. Love for who? Love for me. He's loving me. I cannot say more than this. God is love, and God is loving me. Adam and Eve, did God love them? Yes or no? Yes. The people of Israel in the wilderness. He gave them food, eat, shelter, light, all things out of his love. And actually, though they treated him badly, and they thought to worship an idol, and they make a statue of calf, and they started to worship him. But though God returned it back, because his love, بيقول ربنا كده إيه؟ غلب من تحننه. He was overcome of his love. ربنا غلب من تحننه. يعني الحب بتاع ربنا overcome God and pushes God to do things which is more than what he was planning to do. In the New Testament, what about the miracle of catching big number of fish? This out of God's love. The miracles of many, many miracles of healing. So put this in mind, that our God is the God of love. Responding to prayers, the guard of the angels, he's sending angels for us. You know that all, every one of us have his guardian angel? Yes, this is the belief of our church. We have a guardian angel. He's following us minute by minute. He's keeping us. God, like, assigned an angel for everybody. But we don't see him. I'll tell you a story about this. أبونا لسه في وقت؟ لغاية الساعة كام؟ 10؟ أبونا بيقول tomorrow is Saturday, nobody have work or school tomorrow, so up to the morning, okay? The story is was like about there was a very good deacon and a servant. And he was serving God by visiting and serving and all this stuff. And always God gave him the ability to see his guardian angel all the time, like walking and guiding him, walking in front of him all the time. And then he was chosen to be a priest. And he was ordained a priest, not in our diocese. يعني القصة دي مش في our diocese. فبعدين when he was ordained a priest, he was expecting his guardian angel to come closer to him. And unfortunately, he looked around, he didn't find him. He was very sad that he lost to see his guardian angel and started to weep. Where is my guardian angel? It was a wrong decision to accept the priesthood. And then he found somebody calling from behind. Hello, I'm here. I'm here. I'm behind you. So he looked behind and he found his guardian angel standing behind. Hello, since you became a priest, I'll stand behind you, not in front of you, respecting your priesthood. So the guardian angels, out of the love of God, he said that he is sending angels to serve those who are about to inherit salvation. Do you remember the story of Archangel Raphael? And how he like was with Tobiah, and he went with him and keep bring him back. So we cannot neglect or ignore the great love of God. This is the first picture of God, which is God is love. The second picture, the second biblical picture of God, he is God of humbleness. هو إله الاتضاع. Some of the religions say قال الله تعالى. طبعا أنا بقول بالعربي لأن ما أعرفش أقولها بالإنجليزي. تعالى يعني إيه؟ تعالى مش come, not, مش معناها come here. No. تعالى يعني God who is elevated and separated. ده الإسلام. يقولوا قال الله تعالى. قال له لا مش جاي. ما تترجمش دي. فربنا مش بتاعنا مش تعالى ده ربنا ايه تنازل. Instead of that God is higher than us, he descended and descended and he humbled himself to the lowest level and washed the feet of his disciples. This is the real picture of God. We think God is separated from us. Actually, he came closer and the closer till he was united with us in incarnation. So he is God of incarnation. God who took flesh and he took our form and made himself in the form of man. More than that, he made himself a slave for us. Listen to what St. Paul. When St. Paul listened, this is the true picture of God, not the God in our imagination. He says the following, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He is equal with God. He cannot think that this is something wrong. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is a very important verse. It's Philippians 2:5. 5, 6, 7, actually. 8, come on. From 5 through 8. This is our God, God of humbleness. And actually, it is very unique picture of God, and very loving God, who accepts to come closer to me, even taking my body and suffering exactly like a man. And actually, when we in the praises, we say that he took what is ours and gave us what is his. أخذ الذي لنا وأعطانا الذي له. This is the theotoky of Friday. God took our weaknesses, humbled himself. God is sharing man in his feelings, in his sufferings, in his circumstances, even in his body. He became like, he came in time. He was timeless. بيقول غير الزمني. He's not limited by time. He limited himself in time for us. So this is the second picture of God, God of humbleness, or God of incarnation. The first picture, or the first true God, is God of love. The second one is God of incarnation, or humbleness. The third picture is God of redemption. Redemption, God of the cross. Cross, who accepted to be crucified for me. And this is a unique God too, that God who sacrifices himself for me. He accepted death instead of me. He took my death and gave me his life. Listen to these verses. Saint Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with a precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed with the blood of Christ. He sacrificed himself and shed his blood for me, his God of redemption. And actually, I'd like to speak about this, because for the redemption, after the redemption, there is forgiveness. God, because he shed his blood, he is able to forgive. He paid the price. You remember the story of the woman who was caught in the same act. And all the people caught her, brought her to Jesus to condemn her and to judge her. He said to her that, I will not condemn you because I'll pay the price for you. So don't think that he is God of punishment. Actually, he is God of forgiveness because he died for ourselves. And a lot of verses about this. What about St. Peter when he did a big mistake? He said that, I don't know him. I don't want to be a disciple anymore. He forgave him, because he paid the price. God of redemption, he is God of the cross, and he is God of forgiveness. This is one picture of God, which is the second one. I'll tell you what Isaiah said about him. Surely, and listen to what God is making for me, surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and be afflicted. يقول أوجعنا حملها وآلمنا تحملها ونحن حسبناه مضروبا من الله. But he was wounded for our transgressions. يعني I want all of you to put in front of your eyes the picture of God crucified. Crucified for who? Who was crucified for me? He like took all these stripes on his back for me. This is what Isaiah said like 1,000 years before Christ. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. So all our iniquities were put on Christ, so he is able to forgive us our sins. This is the third biblical picture about God, God of the cross, God of forgiveness. The first picture is God of love, then God of humbleness, and then God of the cross. And the third picture, we should look at God of victory, God of resurrection. This is the fourth biblical picture. God reveals himself as God of resurrection. And actually, if you look to the cross that the church like making a procession, or this even this cross, you will find this, the picture of the cross. Taban, all of you can see it, right? Sharp. Picture of the cross, and on the other side, the picture of what? Resurrection. مش كده يا ابونا مش عندكم نفس الصليب جوه؟ The same cross. Because we cannot like accept the cross except unless we are sure of the resurrection. God is the strong God. God overcame the strongest enemy, which is death. So by this, we know the biblical God as he reveals himself from the Bible. And at the end, I'll give you a small test. I want all of you, when you read the Bible, or a story in the Bible, bring a piece of paper and write down what are the characters of God in this story. Like, let us take an example of the Samaritan woman. In order to know the true God, ask myself a question. What are the characters of God in this story? إيه هي صفات ربنا في مقابلته مع السامرية? Can you tell me? He is God, he is what? Alas, you are about to sleep. Thanks God. I succeeded. يعني, St. Paul, he gave a sermon and he make one person sleep. But sometimes I give a sermon, I make 1,000 persons sleep. Better than St. Paul. So, how do you think about the Samaritan woman? God was nice with her, right? He was not rude with her, okay? He was a gentleman. He spoke with her in a good manner. What else? And ask yourself, what are the characters of God? Merciful. Merciful God. He forgave her, though she lived in sin many times with 6 men. And the last one was without marriage even. Sacrificing. Say. Oh, he traveled 6 hours for one person. He traveled 6 hours, طبعاً مش with not in a like a conditioned car and very like highways. He walked in the sun and stayed by the well in order to meet a sinful woman who cannot come in the morning. She cannot come in the morning with all the people coming. She was embarrassed of herself, but he waited for her. hearing, caring for her, like this part of love, he's caring for her, and so on. Choose any thing in the Bible, like incarnation, birth of Christ, transfiguration, and see what is the real picture of God. If we discover this real picture, we will love this God, the God of love, the God of humbleness, the God of the cross, and the God of the resurrection. May the Lord reveal to us his real picture, that we go after him and love him from the depth of our heart. To him is the glory forever. Amen.